This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
It's 105 on DGS, or a version of DGS, I guess we could call it. This would be the law firm of Hancock, Kelly, Ranji, and Wheeler.
Yeah.
What's up, boys?
There's
too many guys in here.
Way too many people in here.
Too many of them on the dance floor.
Way too many.
It's a dude fest.
Oh,
what's up, fellas?
Hey,
how you doing?
Merry Christmas.
What's going on? Didn't even know you were going to be here today, Kevin.
I mean,
this was a nice surprise.
Nobody ever reads the schedule. This was on the schedule from the very beginning.
So since there are 15 of us in this room, I'm leaving after this segment. I'm just walking out.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's fine, Ranji.
Like, you said, hey, I got a place for you to
We've
stay.
We've got two Hancocks and Kelly. We're good.
We're good.
Yeah.
Such a positive,
Michael Kelly playing the part of Rachel today. I'm playing the part of Kevin Wheeler, and Kevin Wheeler playing the part of Dave Glover.
All right,
it's all straight now.
Well, you guys share the hairdo.
We do.
You and Dave.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Not the tattoos, but the hair.
Yeah, that's true. What's that mean? It's the truth.
Jeez, this guy. You know, Wheeler's mad because people make fun of him for being short. And so now he's all over you for your haircut.
I love my hair.
I say, how could I be mad about it? It's just the truth.
Yeah.
I'm short.
And I'm bald.
Yeah.
You can be mad about the truth?
Yeah. Like, why would I be mad about that? Nothing I can do about it.
You could be mad about the truth.
I could get DeSantis' shoes, maybe.
Although I am grooving on that Detroit Lions jacket. Yeah. Finally.
So this is what happened.
I think it looks awful.
So this is what happens. Everybody in my world obviously knows I've been a Lions fan since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And they've sucked forever.
Since you were a little kid.
And they're finally pretty good. So for my birthday, for Christmas, I got a lot of Lions gear because everybody's like, oh, he likes the Lions. Let's get him some Lions stuff. And the truth is I needed an update anyway. Like, all my stuff was really old. I wore a sweatshirt, I think, a month ago that I had in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. A Lions sweatshirt that I had in high school.
You're almost 60.
I'm 52.
Okay.
No, I'm almost 60.
Oh, you're almost 60.
Yeah.
That shirt has, what is it, 35 years old, 40 years old?
Oh, it's I definitely got it. If I didn't get it in high school, it was early in college. It was
awesome.
Somewhere between 17, 18, and 19 or 20. That's when I got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a 30-year-old sweatshirt.
What was your favorite iteration of the Detroit Lions as a kid growing up?
Which, just Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have teams. We just had good players.
Yeah.
Barry and Calvin.
Ooh. Oh, Calvin. I mean, think about this. So you had one of the greatest running backs of all time. I would argue the best runner of the football. Not talking blocking or receiving. There's no better carrier of the football ever than Barry Sanders.
That is absolutely true.
You maybe have the most freakish, gifted wide receiver in the history of the league. And he doesn't have the best numbers. Jerry Rice has the best numbers. But, like, 6'4", 225, fast as hell. Nobody can defend him. He's one of the greats.
And then everything else, straight garbage dump.
But you had Matthew Stafford, who's going to be
Matthew
a Hall of Famer.
Stafford.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's got a World Series.
He does have a World Series.
He's got a Super Bowl, and he's got all the stats. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. So you had those three guys, and in all of that time, one playoff win.
Yeah.
And that could still be the case. In 3 weeks, they could lose in the first game of the playoffs and still only have one playoff win in the last 30 years.
God willing.
Is it possible that Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford will be opposing each other in the first round of the playoffs?
That would be the matchup today.
Wow.
Hey, now.
How cool is that?
Rams line. Not, I don't like that at all. Yeah, I don't want to face the Rams.
Unfortunate with Matt Stafford finally winning a playoff game in Ford Field. But
yeah.
The other guys.
Yeah. I don't like that matchup at all. As a Lions fan, I don't want to face the Rams.
Yeah, they're hot.
I mean, well, not only that, but, I mean, you've got Stafford. Stafford's better than Goff. He just is. They have a good running game. They've got a smart coach. I just don't like it. I know I'm a Lions. Listen, when you've been a Lions fan, it's like being a Cubs fan. It's like being a
Blues fan
until recently. You just,
well, no, you're all alone now because the Cubs won and the Blues won.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, it's like Cleveland too, right? Like, they don't win anything ever until the Cavaliers did, but they hadn't won anything. Like, you just expect the worst. The difference between the Lions and, say, the Cubs there for a while or whatever is the Lions are never good. all those other teams had little runs here and there where they were good for a period of time. The Lions, never good. Never. I think they've had like three winning seasons in 20 years.
Here's a fun fact about the Lions. They were one of the three teams that defeated the St. Louis Rams in their Super Bowl season of 2000.
Yeah. Now, there you go.
The Lions were bad.
They beat us.
Yeah.
Get the one random.
Were the Saints the other?
Saints, I think, beat us once, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And now the Rams are not that great, but they're probably, I mean, they're a team you don't want to face.
Peaking at the right time.
Well, I mean, they're dangerous because of who they have, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I'm hearing something. I heard audio somewhere.
Yeah, we're hearing things.
We're all
happen.
Looking at each other like, who's talking? Okay.
I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to your Lions in their one playoff game.
Well, hopefully it'll be more than that, but at this point, I don't have expectations. I've been scarred enough. I was here like Ron, I know you're a Bears fan and you've worked up there, so you know the Bears fans. I've heard enough whining from Chicago fans, like, oh, we're so sad for the Bears. Like, you guys have a Super Bowl. You've been to another one. Relax.
How many people were alive for it, though?
Yeah, you've been to everybody was alive for the Rex Grossman Super Bowl. You've at least been there.
Bad.
You've at least had some runs.
Let me tell you something
about
that.
The last time the Lions won anything, my 75-year-old dad was 8 years old.
The Rex Grossman Super Bowl. This one of my great sports moments as a fan ever was the opening kickoff when Devin Hester, who is, by the way, a Pro Football Hall of Fame candidate, he took the opening kickoff to the house.
He did. Yeah. I remember.
And
that.
I thought, oh my God, they might win this game. And then no.
He was so obviously he's a Miami guy, and back in that time,
there was
no Twitter and there's nothing like that. So everybody was talking about everything in chat rooms. Were you ever in chat rooms, like the sporting chat rooms? Or
they don't know what a chat room
Michael's
is. Michael's
like, I was in the dating chat room.
Yeah, John Junior knows what right. it is. But
you would be talking sports with your fellow fans in these little chat rooms, and nobody used his name. They just used the alien emoji for him.
They had emojis back then.
Who knew? In the chat room. Yeah. In the chat room, they had emojis. Yes.
You just found out what a chat room is.
I know what a chat room is. Where do you go and chat? In the room.
Is it a physical place?
How big is the room, John?
Huh?
How big is the room?
Well, it depends on the size of the chat. Okay. I mean, if you've got half a dozen guys in
there. Is it required to have one or two doors?
Just one door.
I'll tell you what, this chat room's not big enough for all of us. That's why.
This is a chat room.
This is a chat room.
Yes.
And that's why I'm leaving in 5 minutes.
Good for you.
Well, and Happy New Year, Ron.
Hey, congrats. Well, I don't know if congrats yet, but London Fletcher and Torrey Holter on the Pro Football
the
Hall of Fame
list.
Ballot.
Yep.
They're finalists. Got,
the wide receiver group is ridiculous.
It is.
It's really good.
I mean, you've got Torrey, Andre Johnson. Devin Hester really wasn't that. He's more of a special teams guy, but technically played some wide receiver. Who else? There's another one I'm missing. Another really elite one that I'm forgetting that is also on the ballot. But, I mean, it's only named
the three I care about.
Yeah, Torrey should be in. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
This is his second or third or fourth time, right?
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong about London Fletcher. Did he not start out as like just a special teams player for the Rams, and then the middle linebacker got hurt and they put him in? I could be wrong.
That I don't remember. You might be right.
I think I might be right. Every now and then I'm right when I spout something.
It's rare.
Like that.
We usually write it down in your little permanent record.
I think he was a special teams player and he was a good one. And then he had 15, 16.
I think you're thinking
16?
Of Dre Bly.
I'm not thinking of Dre Bly.
He was a first round pick.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I'm thinking of London Fletcher.
Are you thinking of London Fletcher?
Yeah. He had like a 15, 16-year career.
Yeah, long career.
He ought to be in the Hall of Fame. That guy was a stud.
Did he go to Tennessee after he was done with us? Where did he
Washington.
Wind up? Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, Reggie Wayne was the other one I was thinking of.
Oh my gosh.
That's a great one.
Great receiver.
Yeah, so that's all he's got to deal with. It's Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, and then Devin Hester. But like three of the all-time great wide receivers. And they're probably only going to pick one.
Yep.
Might as well be Torrey.
Torrey's probably been on the longest, right? So maybe that's just go seniority, because those guys are all contemporaries. But I think he's been on the ballot longer.
Yep, 8 consecutive 1,000-yard years.
Do they time out like you do in baseball?
No,
you can only.
No, they don't have the whole 10 years and you're off the ballot thing. I think NFL does it right. They do it better. They do the Hall of Fame better than baseball for sure. There's five players every year. You're always going to have a celebration. You're always going to have the same number of people. Plus, they've got contributors and everybody else that goes into. It's always about, and you're going to get more players and fan bases recognized, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where baseball is like, well, we only have one this year, and it was on the veterans. Like,
I honestly,
do it correctly,
Kevin. I don't know about you. Maybe you disagree, but I think baseball Hall of Fame voters take themselves way more seriously than any other sport.
Well, they also do this properly. They do it. It's a more logical process. You get into a room and you talk about all of the candidates, and you actually will go back and forth as opposed to 600 people casting random anonymous ballots. And you don't have to post your ballot. You can keep it secret if you want to, which is how you end up with people not voting for Stan Musial, not voting for Hank Aaron, not voting for Willie Mays. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And I'll say this, if you're too embarrassed to publish your ballot, then maybe your ballot's bad.
Yeah, give it up. Give it up. Stop voting.
No, but in the NFL, they get in the chat room.
They do.
They do get in the chat room.
Yeah, they go in the chat room at the Super Bowl.
Here's Hancock's heard this unpopular opinion from me related to Hall of Fames. But I think the Baseball Hall of Fame is the most overblown waste of time I've ever experienced.
Oh, you've been? I haven't been.
Yeah. It's in the middle of nowhere, New York.
From Cooperstown.
It's a bunch of, you could go into a mausoleum and look at as many plaques as they have hanging up.
It's a hall of history.
And there's, you know, they got one or two rooms where you walk through and there's some baseballs and stuff. But it's, I mean, the Science Center is far more exciting than
Have you been to any other Halls of Fame?
No.
I was just curious if you were going to compare it
to,
like,
No, I expected it, and maybe it's because it's St. Louis and we're so over the top with baseball, but I was expecting Disney World, and I got, a Sunoco restroom.
It's a museum. It's a hallowed hall.
You got a soap dispenser and everything.
And it's a little quaint town there you got there in Cooperstown.
Yeah. And
New
I'm
York.
Not disparaging any, because I think it's the more prestigious of the Hall of Fames is the baseball one.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do.
It's
Don't
funny
you?
Hearing you say it that way. Cause
prestigious, but
I've always argued
more prestigious.
Too,
have you been there?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Have you guys been to Canton?
I'm not really.
No.
I've been to Canton.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
How is it?
It was lovely.
Did you see OJ?
He was not there, but they got all these holograms talking. Vince Lombardi gave a speech to me right in there, in the locker room.
Did he address you by name?
Well, he said John.
Yeah.
He gave a speech in the locker room, and there I was sitting on the bench.
That's
right
cool.
There. It was very cool. Was
See, that sounds more exciting than baseball right there already.
Well, it's a hallowed hall, Michael.
I'm with you. With a mausoleum.
You were in the hologram chat room.
Yes. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Michael's just so mad about it.
I kind of.
Hallowed hall, more like a hollow hall. There's nothing in here.
Yeah.
Hate this place. I'm leaving. How long does it take to get there from New York?
So I was in Albany.
That's the capital of New York.
And so I want to say it was like 50 miles, 60 miles from Albany.
That's an hour.
It's upstate New York, dude. It's, you know. It's a cute little town. The town itself is like an
adorable
old town, St. Charles.
Yeah.
And everything around it's related to baseball, and you can go into a bunch of little baseball knick-knack shops and get yourself bobbleheads and stuff like that. And they've got kind of a carnival-like atmosphere where you can go hit against pitching machines, etc. But then you go to the actual Hall of Fame, and it's just kind of an old brick building that's been added onto.
Yeah.
And it's nothing really beyond a couple of exhibits and a lot of plaques.
I'd love to hear you describe the Louvre.
I've been there.
It's just this old building. The Louvre
is incredible. The Louvre is one of the most special places on the planet. Have you been?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well,
it's amazing.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. And what's incredible about the Louvre is that, like, you go into the part that they recently built, the underground space, but all those buildings that surround it and stuff, you could spend a whole day in just one building at the Louvre and not see the stuff.
Did you know Kevin speaks French?
Oh, oui, monsieur.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Fluently?
I mean, used to be fluently. Now it's more like half fluently.
Well, that's...
Would you take it in school?
I had 8 years, so it was my second major in college.
Oh, man, you're smart.
Can you, in French, describe what's wrong with Michael?
Please.
Yeah.
Beaucoup de choses.
Muy loco.
That means a lot.
Oh.
So the Louvre, that's over there in
Paris.
In France.
Is that a dolphin
in France?
Now if you take the one hour tour of that thing, it's called the Jiffy Louvre.
Oh, the Jiffy Louvre.
Ron, do you want to go on that?
Yeah.
There's Ron, nothing... are you headed north?
Yeah.
Good for you. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year, Ron.
Enjoy yourself up there.
I love you all. Happy New Year.
Mr. Positivity himself.
I'm leaving the chat room.
TGS on a Thursday, although it's not really, does it count? Is it really still, I mean, it is the TGS time, so we'll call it that.
Well, it is.
There's only one of us of the DGS here, that's me, but obviously.
One more than we've had earlier, all week.
The law firm of Hancock, and Kelly are with us. We didn't mention, I did mention it in that way, but would you like to do your introduction for your son?
Well, he's our NFL insider, John Hancock from Chicago, Illinois.
Hi.
Happy to be here, as always.
Nice we heard from you last segment, and we mentioned that there was two Hancocks here, not one, but we didn't do the formal. So my apologies for not doing the formal introduction at the beginning.
It's all good.
We got a nice little group. You're going to hang out till like 3-ish?
Yeah.
Nice. So I know we did some football there, and we'll do some more like real like NFL stuff, like good football stories coming up, including, you know, the real hardcore football story of how Taylor Swift is the Yoko Ono of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, or how do you
get
to... Which
is such a joke.
I'd like to get one of these contracts where they pay me to go away like Russell Wilson.
That's a whole... That You can kind of choose where you want to go, but I think those are the two big stories.
Yeah,
in addition to the NFL playoffs, and of course the Lions owning the league.
Yeah,
and I just have to say that Taylor Swift has more talent in her pinky than Yoko Ono had in her entire career. just to set the record.
This is a good point because Yoko was never really the show.
Exactly.
I mean, did Yoko have like sold out stadium tours of her own?
I'm with you guys, but I think the comparison of Yoko Ono to who are we comparing?
Taylor Swift, Michael.
Taylor Swift. I mean, Yoko Ono was no, or Travis Kelce's no John Lennon.
No. Well, in fact,
Lennon's in a whole other stratosphere from Travis Kelce. Sorry.
Well, I don't know. Travis Kelce may be the John Lennon of tight ends. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but I mean, there's other tight ends in that conversation. There's not other people in the conversation when it comes to John Lennon. In terms of what he contributed to music, that guy was like a modern day Beethoven.
Well, that's a little
alive in our day. No, he was.
This is a guy that doesn't like the Baseball Hall of Fame, and now he's calling John Lennon Beethoven over here.
Well, I think John Lennon. Listen, I think he was probably one of the most impactful people of the last century.
You can make that case.
That's why the FBI had a file on him.
I don't think that Taylor Swift or Travis Kelce rise to that level.
Let's do that part of this now because it's not really a sports story. We'll do real football later. People are idiots.
Yes.
Well.
People are idiots.
Took you 52 years to figure that out.
You know, it comes in drips. It comes slowly. But the fact that there are actually people who think that anything related to Taylor Swift has anything to do with the performance of the Kansas City Chiefs, you're idiots. You're idiots if you think that.
But at the same time, I'll take the converse argument in that we've all been force-fed Taylor Swift by the NFL and by the networks for the last year over and above what she was doing via music.
Right.
They chose to capitalize on her. So is it a surprise that when things aren't going well, people are going to say, well, what about Taylor Swift?
Well, it's never
I don't
a surprise
like it
when
because
people...
I like their relationship.
Yeah,
I'm a Taylor fan.
I don't care one way or the other about it. I agree that the TV networks go over the top with the cuts to Taylor celebrating up in the press box. That is not impacting the performance of players on the field is my point.
True that.
And sports fans, and I know people that are fans of other things are irrational too.
Right.
But sports fans believe dumb things sometimes. Like they'll believe anything that suits their narrative. It can't be that, well, they were too stupid to go out and make sure they had good enough wide receivers this year. They had too much confidence in their ability to find a bunch of nobodies from nowhere and, oh, Patrick Mahomes will just make them better. They were wrong. The builders of the football team got it wrong. And it has got Mahomes playing the worst football of his career.
So far.
And obviously, Kelce's been hurt since the preseason.
And
so
he's
that's
being
their only
double-teamed.
Guy. Well, this is it.
Because
right.
There's nobody. I mean, DeSmet's out. The DeSmet freshmen are out on the,
yes.
on the outside.
Yes, but people want to attribute their record to Taylor Swift being in the suite.
I didn't know.
They replaced Eric Bieniemy with Matt Nagy, former
Thank
Bears
you.
Coach, and that's been a disaster.
We should have asked Ronge about that. Nagy's a disaster as a coordinator. He was horrible as a head coach in Chicago. And I don't know why Andy Reid hasn't just taken control of it himself. Because, and this, by the way, does prove, because there were people like, is it really Eric Bieniemy or is it Andy Reid? No, it was Eric Bieniemy.
He was
the reason, they're, one of the reasons why their offense, I mean, Mahomes is the reason. But, you know, people kind of downplayed Bieniemy because they had Mahomes. I think maybe we learned a lesson there. Personnel matters, both your coaching and your performers.
And your backup singers.
But the girlfriend of your tight end doesn't make any difference when it comes to your football team's record.
I didn't know what Taylor Swift looked like until she started dating Travis Kelce.
It was love, it wasn't hate, it was a difference.
After 1:30 on DGS, and I guess we probably should get into something relatively important.
Okay.
We're gonna spend probably as much time having fun today as we will have like solving the world's problems, which is kind of what we do on DGS on a day-to-day basis anyway. But if I were to ask any of the three of you guys, and that would be John Senior, John Junior, Michael, if I were to ask any of you guys off the cuff, What started the Civil War? Would you think you'd have a reasonable answer that you could give to me or anyone asking you that question? Even if you're not a full-on Civil War aficionado, even if you're not an historian, would you at least have some basic 30-second description of what was at the root of the Civil War in the United States? Because Nikki Haley booted that.
She did. And this is, it's a classic political mistake that I'm a little surprised she'd made it, because she's been a two-time elected governor.
Of
South Carolina.
Well, it's important to remember she was from a southern state, so she knows what's up.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time she's been confronted with this question.
So, well, it may be. But let's say I don't think she was prepared for that question. And so there's two instincts in as a politician when you get asked a question. And the wrong instinct is to quickly, in a nanosecond, read the room and figure out what that room is wanting to hear and try as your best as you can to deliver that message. And that's a fundamental mistake that a lot of young politicians make. The other way to deal with a question like that, where you think, you know, your answer may not be the most popular in the room, but you give the answer, and then you expand on it. And so the way to handle a question, and here's the example I'll use. When I was running for state rep, I was running as a pro-life Republican in a district that was about 74% pro-choice. So when you go to knock on a door, and the female that answers the door asks you what your position on abortion is, the former approach, the Nikki Haley approach of yesterday, would be, well, It's a complicated situation and da 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 blah blah. So what I always did when they asked me my position on abortion, I would say I'm pro-life, but I understand why it's a complicated issue for people, because it pits the value of life against the value of liberty, two cornerstone values in our country, and blah blah blah. And we may disagree on that. So what she should have done there, what was the cause of the Civil War? She should have said, well, slavery was the cause of the Civil War, but there was so much more going on in the country at that time. You had an agrarian rural economy in the South and a rapidly industrializing economy in the North, and it was a clash of two ways of living. And so, yes, slavery was the root cause of that struggle, but there was so much more that divided the country at the time. That was the answer she should have given.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, why is that hard, though? Especially, well, like,
she wasn't prepared for it.
Well, this is my point, though. Like, but her thing is she's good at this type of stuff.
Yep.
No, if she's not good at this type of knowing things,
she knew full well what she was doing, guys, when she answered the question. This is the governor of South Carolina. This isn't the first time the Civil War has become. In fact, if you go down there, having spent some time in the South, nearly everything in their legislative session at some time or another is going to relate back to the Civil War and our history and our heritage and blah, blah, blah. she was trying to give the answer that she thought that the crowd, and more importantly, that the Republicans were interested in. And I think it speaks to where this party's at, that they can't go and speak directly to it. Now, let me tell you something. I spent a lot of time traveling with Dick Gephardt around Iowa and New Hampshire. They are special places when it comes to presidential campaigns, because it's probably the only place where actual citizens get to interact with these candidates who are running for president of the United States. And let me tell you what Nikki Haley's daily life is like. Nikki Haley's daily life is she gets up and she goes to 20 to 25 little coffees, clutches, little things, and all these little podunk towns across Iowa and New Hampshire. And she'll give her little 15-minute stump speech, which is the same speech. I could get Dick Gephardt's 15-minute stump speech right now, which is the same speech she has been given for the last 6 months, and she's going to continue to give for the next 3 months. And then you get crazy questions. And when I tell you get crazy questions, you have people asking you about Bigfoot. And you'll have people asking you ridiculous questions about, the state of Iowa seceding from the union. And you get these other questions. So what the key for these candidates, Dick Gephardt, Nikki Haley, any of them, is to stick to the script, because there's literally, guys, hundreds of news guys following these people around, and they're looking for the one change in the stump speech or the one slip to an answer. This is not, she knew full well what the root causes of.
Of course she does.
And she didn't want to say it because she is afraid that it's going to offend the Republican Party. And she may, I think it's a disqualifying answer that she wound up
getting. Oh, it's not a disqualifying
answer. Of course it is, because she knew full well what she was doing.
It's
and
not
playing.
A disqualifying answer.
The reason it's not disqualifying is because the person she's running against would sit there and say it had nothing to do with slavery. That's Donald Trump, and he can get away with it. But she's supposed to be this competent adult who knows full well how to answer a question, knows that every question that's being asked of her on this stump are gotcha questions. And to give that answer, it was 100% completely calculated the way that she answered
it. It was calculated the way she answered it. But my contention is that she wasn't prepped for that question. She didn't know that question was coming. And so she made a snap decision.
But John, she's been in public life for 20 years. That question's come up in South Carolina, et cetera. This lady's running for president of the United States. This isn't somebody who's just trying out for the basketball
team.
Let
us not forget.
She's a pro.
Let us not forget that it was Nikki Haley that removed the Confederate flag from flying above the Capitol Dome in South Carolina.
Which even speaks further to the fact that she was being calculated in the way that she spoke, and she was trying to appease this mouth-breathing constituency that's inside the Republican Party that still would like to be fighting a civil war over slavery.
Well, the reality of the Civil War is that it was far more complex than slavery. Slavery was the root of what caused the Civil War.
And when you start talking like that, you lose 90% of the voters country, because all understand it. Well, unless you're down in the South.
436-7900.
Let's bring up the old KMOX for the conservatives to talk about this. We better get the dump button.
All I'm saying, Michael, and I'm right about this, is that slavery was the root cause. It certainly was the manifestation of the conflict between North and South. But there was a lot more going on.
She knew.
So she could have easily said
that's what she should have said.
I mean, like,
exactly what she should have said.
In the coverage of all of this, this is kind of to the point where I wanted to get into this topic, because this is entirely about how people, quote, play the room, right? Because in 2015, she did remove the Confederate flag from the state capitol. In 2010, when she was running for governor, she defended the Southern states' right to secede from the Union during the Civil War. Like, how do you keep going back and forth on these things if you're not simply telling the people in the room what they want to hear because you want their support?
Because your belief system and your thought processes don't line up with the folks that you're trying to entice to vote. This is not a surprise question to a governor from the South. I'm sorry. They are living these things on a daily basis. She's been asked this question before. It was calculated what she was doing. And I think she deserves the consequences of looking like a boob.
What was calculated,
which she does for doing this.
Let's go back and see how she answered the abortion question during the debate. Remember how nuanced and effective that answer was?
Because it had just come up.
because she was prepared for the question. She knew what she was going to say. If she was prepared for the what's caused the Civil War question, she would not have given that answer.
No,
she wasn't prepared
well,
for
then
it.
Well, then what is wrong with her? If she, if you don't know that race is one of the most the biggest driving issues in this country, in the same instance that abortion and the economy is, then you're completely naive and you ought not be running for president. I'm saying to you, I agree with you, John. She knew what she was doing. She's not telling the truth.
She wasn't
because
prepared.
She wants to appease these extremists.
She wasn't prepared for the question, and she took the wrong path to answer a question. She tried to read the room and give the answer that she thought the room wanted to hear, rather than which I would advise any of my clients: if you ask a controversial question on which you have a position, state your position right out of the gate, and then explain it.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. And she didn't do that here.
But this isn't how do you feel about book bans or how do you feel about some issue that needs a nuanced answer. What caused the Civil War? Slavery.
Well, slavery was certainly the
root cause.
Well, I just explained to you that there was a whole lot more going on in the country. Slavery was certainly the fundamental flashpoint that caused the Civil War. No question about that. The North was trying to limit the expansion of slavery, and the South didn't like that. But fundamentally, it was about a clash of cultures that you had, an agrarian society based on slave labor versus a rapidly industrializing modern economy in the North, and two completely different styles of living, cultures.
Explanations are complicated. Facts are simple. It was slavery. She knows the answer. You know the answer. I know the answer. She didn't say it because she's out there appealing to an extremist wing of this party. I don't even know that it's extremist. I think it's the mainstream of the Republican Party.
Well, what I just articulated on the Civil War is I don't consider an extremist position. At all. I think it's a historically rooted position, and I think it's effective. The Civil War was a very complex time in American history. It was a culmination of decades of things, of which slavery was at the pinnacle, but it certainly was not the only thing that divided the North from the South. And you had the whole concept of federalism in this country from its very inception has been a stress point. Federalism being states' rights versus the role of the federal government. We've been in constant stress over the idea of federalism since our founding, and we screwed it up in the Articles of Confederation, tried to fix it in the Constitution, but it's been a stress point throughout the entirety of our history. So it's too simplistic to say slavery was the only cause of the Civil War. It certainly was the apex, the pinnacle of it, but there was a whole lot more going on.
It would be too simplistic to say that the cause of the Cardinals' poor season this year was pitching. There was far more complications, but if we went out and asked everybody in St. Louis what
pitching.
Was wrong with the Cardinals this year, they would say it was pitching.
Yeah, yeah.
What caused the Civil War? Slavery. Well, it's that simple.
I think that this all could have easily been handled, right? I mean, like, if she had just started with
slavery,
well, slavery was at the root cause of what started the war, but that it meant a lot more. There's no discussion to that.
That's exactly right.
Which is like the most basic eighth grade answer.
That's
right. What I'm saying to you is she knows that. She knew the answer was slavery.
She wasn't prepped for it.
She wasn't going to say that because that is what she is being. She's just a jellyfish trying to entice these ridiculous extremists that is the Republican Party who really do believe this stuff.
Quick 2-minute thing on this. Because when you're saying prepared, do you mean specifically in the days leading up to this, given a pat answer for that particular question?
A candidate.
Because I feel like, and I mentioned this to you guys out there, like I've been talking on the radio for almost 30 years. Every day, 5 days a week for 28 years. So maybe my perspective is wrong on this because of what I do. I would think that those answers, or what is your political, what is your economic policy? What do you think about healthcare? What do you think about abortion? I would think that anyone in those positions wouldn't have to be specifically prepped for any of those things because those are your core beliefs and they're basic things. They're not. It's not, I don't know. I mean, I'm oversimplifying.
So you prep a candidate to be able to best articulate their position and viewpoint on issues. And so they've got a whole list of things that you practice them and you go back and forth. It's like we call it a murder board. And you go back and forth and back and forth and you ask the question, get the answer, ask the question, refine it. Nothing wrong with that. You're helping the candidate articulate their position. Then there are questions that aren't on your murder board that you hadn't thought about. They weren't something that you'd prep for. This was one of those. And what you teach the candidate in those cases is give your answer and then explain it. What she started doing was explaining it before giving the answer of what caused the Civil War. That was a mistake, okay? And she's trying to clean it up today, but that was a mistake. And yes, it was calculated to the extent that she took the wrong approach upon hearing the question, but it obviously wasn't effective for her.
No.
So,
it's probably effective with some out there in the Republican Party who don't believe that slavery was one of the root causes of the Civil War.
I don't think there's anybody that doesn't believe slavery was one of the root causes of the Civil War.
Let's get the former president on the line. So do we think this does long?
That's just after 1:30 on DGS. And I guess we probably should get into something relatively important.
Okay.
We're gonna spend probably as much time having fun today as we will have like solving the world's problems, which is kind of what we do on DGS on a day-to-day basis anyway. But if I were to ask any of the three of you guys, and that would be John Sr., John Jr., Michael. Yep. If I were to ask any of you guys off the cuff, what started the Civil War? Would you think you'd have a reasonable answer that you could give to me or anyone asking you that question? Even if you're not a full-on Civil War aficionado, even if you're not an historian, would you at least have some basic 30-second description of what was at the root of the Civil War in the United States? Because Nikki Haley booted that.
She did. And this is a classic political mistake that I'm a little surprised she'd made it because she's been a two-time elected governor.
South Carolina, too.
Of South Carolina.
Well, it's important to remember she was from a southern state, so she knows what's up.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time she's been confronted with this question.
So, well, it may be. But let's say I don't think she was prepared for that question. And so there's two instincts in as a politician when you get asked a question. And the wrong instinct is to quickly, in a nanosecond, read the room and figure out what that room is wanting to hear and try as your best as you can to deliver that message. And that's a fundamental mistake that a lot of young politicians make. The other way to deal with a question like that, where you think, you know, your answer may not be the most popular in the room, but you give the answer, and then you expand on it. And so the way to handle a question, and here's the example I'll use. When I was running for state rep, I was running as a pro-life Republican in a district that was about 74% pro-choice. So when you go to knock on a door, and the female that answers the door asks you what your position on abortion is, the former approach, the Nikki Haley approach of yesterday would be, well, It's a complicated situation and da 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 blah blah. So what I always did when they asked me my position on abortion, I would say I'm pro-life, but I understand why it's a complicated issue for people because it pits the value of life against the value of liberty, two cornerstone values in our country, and blah blah blah. And we may disagree on that. So what she should have done there, what was the cause of the Civil War? She should have said, well, slavery was the cause of the Civil War, but there was so much more going on in the country at that time. You had an agrarian rural economy in the South and a rapidly industrializing economy in the North, and it was a clash of two ways of living. And so, yes, slavery was the root cause of that struggle, but there was so much more that divided the country at the time. That was the answer she should have given.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, why is that hard, though? Especially, well, like,
she wasn't prepared for it.
Well, this is my point, though. Like, but her thing is she's good at this type of stuff.
Yep.
No. If she's not good at this type of knowing things.
She knew full well what she was doing, guys, when she answered the question. This is the governor of South Carolina. This isn't the first time the Civil War has become. In fact, if you go down there, having spent some time in the South, nearly everything in their legislative session at some time or another is going to relate back to the Civil War and our history and our heritage and blah, blah, blah. She was trying to give the answer that she thought that the crowd and, yeah, more importantly, that the Republicans were interested in. And I think it speaks to where this party's at, that they can't go and speak directly to it. Now, let me tell you something. I spent a lot of time traveling with Dick Gephardt around Iowa and New Hampshire. They are special places when it comes to presidential campaigns because it's probably the only place where actual citizens get to interact with these candidates who are running for president of the United States. And let me tell you what Nikki Haley's daily life is like. Nikki Haley's daily life is she gets up and she goes to 20 to 25 little coffees, clutches, little things, and all these little podunk towns across Iowa and New Hampshire. And she'll give her little 15-minute stump speech, which is the same speech. I could get Dick Gephardt's 15-minute stump speech right now, which is the same speech she should have been given for the last 6 months, and she's going to continue to give for the next 3 months. And then you get crazy questions. And when I tell you get crazy questions, you have people asking you about Bigfoot. And you'll have people asking you ridiculous questions about, the state of Iowa seceding from the Union. And you get these other questions. So what the key for these candidates, Dick Gephardt, Nikki Haley, any of them, is to stick to the script. Because there's literally, guys, hundreds of news guys following these people around. And they're looking for the one change in the stump speech or the one slip to an answer. This is not, she knew full well what the root causes of.
Of course she does.
And she didn't want to say it because she is afraid that it's going to offend the Republican Party. And she may, I think it's a disqualifying answer that she wound up giving.
Oh, it's not a disqualifying
answer. Of course it is, because she knew full well what she was doing.
It's not a disqualifying
answer. Now, the reason it's not disqualifying is because the person she's running against would sit there and say it had nothing to do with slavery. That's Donald Trump, and he can get away with it. But she's supposed to be this competent adult who knows full well how to answer a question, knows that every question that's being asked of her on this stump are gotcha questions. And to give that answer, it was 100% completely calculated the way that she answered
it. It was
that.
Calculated the way she answered it. But my contention is that she wasn't prepped for that question. She didn't know that question was coming. And so she made a snap decision.
But John, she's been in public life for 20 years. That question's come up in South Carolina, et cetera. This lady's running for president of the United States. This isn't somebody who's just trying out for the basketball
team.
Let
us not forget.
She's a pro.
Let us not forget that it was Nikki Haley that removed the Confederate flag from flying above the Capitol Dome in South
Carolina. Which even speaks further to the fact that she was being calculated in the way that she spoke, and she was trying to appease this mouth-breathing constituency that's inside the Republican Party that still would like to be fighting a civil war over slavery.
Well, the reality of the Civil War is that it was far more complex than slavery. Slavery was the root of what caused the Civil War.
But when you start talking like that, you lose 90% of the voters in this country, because
no,
we
don't.
All understand it. Well, unless you're down
436,
in the South and you're
700.
Let's bring up the old KMOX for conservatives to talk about this. We better get the dump button.
All I'm saying, Michael, and I'm right about this, is that slavery was the root cause. It certainly was the manifestation of the conflict between North and South. But there was a lot more going on.
She knew.
So
time.
She could have
exactly.
easily said
she,
what
that's what she should have said.
I mean, like, she...
It's, she was that's prepared. Exactly what she should have said.
In she the, knew exactly what she was doing.
In the coverage of all of this, this is kind of to the point where I wanted to get into this topic, because this is entirely about how people, quote, play the room, right? Because in 2015, she did remove the Confederate flag
right.
from the state capitol. In 2010, when she was running for governor, she defended the southern states' right to secede from the Union during the Civil War. Like, how do you keep going back and forth on these things if you're not simply telling the people in the room what they want to hear because you want their support.
Because your belief system and your thought processes don't line up with the folks that you're trying to entice to vote. This is not a surprise question to a governor from the South. I'm sorry. They are living these things on a daily basis. She's been asked this question before. It was calculated what she was doing. And I think she deserves the consequences of looking like a boob.
What was calculated?
She does for doing this.
Let's go back and see how she answered the abortion question during the debate. Remember how nuanced and effective that answer was?
Because it had just come up.
Because she was prepared for the question. She knew what she was going to say. If she was prepared for the what's caused the Civil War question, she would not have given that answer.
No,
she wasn't prepared for it.
Well, then what is wrong with her? If you don't know that race is one of the biggest driving issues in this country, in the same instance that abortion and the economy is, then you're completely naive and you ought not be running for president.
When asked,
I'm saying to you, I agree with you, John. She knew what she was doing. She's not telling the truth.
She wasn't
because
prepared.
She wants to appease these extremists.
She wasn't prepared for the question, and she took the wrong path to answer a question. She tried to read the room and give the answer that she thought the room wanted to hear, rather than which I would advise any of my clients, if you ask a controversial question on which you have a position, state your position right out of the gate, and then explain it.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. And she didn't do that here.
But this isn't how do you feel about book bans or how do you feel about some issue that needs a nuanced answer. What caused the Civil War? Slavery.
Well, slavery I just explained to you that there was a whole lot more going on in the country. Slavery was certainly the fundamental flashpoint that caused the Civil War. No question about that. The North was trying to limit the expansion of slavery, and the South didn't like that. But fundamentally, it was about a clash of cultures that you had, an agrarian society based on slave labor versus a rapidly industrializing modern economy in the North, and two completely different styles of living, cultures.
Explanations are complicated. Facts are simple. It was slavery. She knows the answer. You know the answer. I know the answer. She didn't say it because she's out there appealing to an extremist wing of this party. I don't even know that it's extremist. I think it's the mainstream of the Republican Party.
Well, what I just articulated on the Civil War is I don't consider an extremist position. At all. I think it's a historically rooted position, and I think it's effective. The Civil War was a very complex time in American history. It was a culmination of decades of things, of which slavery was at the pinnacle, but it certainly was not the only thing that divided the North from the South. And you had the whole concept of federalism in this country from its very inception has been a stress point. Federalism being states' rights versus the role of the federal government. We've been in constant stress over the idea of federalism since our founding, and we screwed it up in the Articles of Confederation, tried to fix it in the Constitution, but it's been a stress point throughout the entirety of our history. So it's too simplistic to say slavery was the only cause of the Civil War. It certainly was the apex, the pinnacle of it, but there was a whole lot more going on.
It would be too simplistic to say that the cause of the Cardinals' poor season this year was pitching. There was far more complications, but if we went out and asked everybody in St. Louis
what was
wrong with the Cardinals this year, they would say it was pitching.
What caused
the Civil War? Slavery. Well, it's that simple.
I think that this all could have easily been handled, right? I mean, like, if she had just started with
slavery,
well, slavery was at the root cause of what started the war, but that it meant a lot more. There's no discussion to that.
That's exactly right.
Which is like the most basic eighth grade answer.
That's right.
What I'm saying to you is she knows that. She knew the answer was slavery.
She wasn't prepped for it.
She wasn't going to say that because that is what she is being. She's just a jellyfish trying to entice these ridiculous extremists that is the Republican Party who really do believe this stuff.
Quick 2-minute thing on this. Because when you're saying prepared, do you mean specifically in the days leading up to this, given a pat answer for that particular question?
Yes, a candidate.
Because I feel like, I mentioned this to you guys out there, like, I've been talking on the radio for almost 30 years. Every day, you know, 5 days a week for 28 years. So maybe my perspective is wrong on this because of what I do. I would think that those answers, or what is your political, what is your economic policy? What do you think about healthcare? What do you think about abortion? I would think that anyone in those positions wouldn't have to be specifically prepped for any of those things, because those are your core beliefs and they're basic things. They're not, it's not, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm maybe oversimplifying.
So you prep a candidate to be able to best articulate their position and viewpoint on issues. And so they've got a whole list of things that you, and you practice them and you go back and forth. It's a, we call it a murder board, and you go back and forth and back and forth, and you ask the question, get the answer, ask the question, refine it. Nothing wrong with that. You're helping the candidate articulate their position. Then there are questions that aren't on your murder board that you hadn't thought about. They weren't something that you'd prepped for. This was one of those. And what you teach the candidate in those cases is give your answer and then explain it. What she started doing was explaining it before giving the answer of what caused a civil war. That was a mistake, okay? And she's trying to clean it up today, but that was a mistake. And yes, it was calculated to the extent that she took the wrong approach upon hearing the question, but it obviously wasn't effective for her.
No.
So,
it's probably effective with some out there in the Republican Party who don't believe that slavery was one of the root causes of the Civil War.
I don't think there's anybody that doesn't believe slavery was one of the root causes of the Civil War.
Let's get the former president on the line. So do we think this does long-term damage to Nikki Haley?
Well, I was going to ask you guys next, because if you're a president, I have a standard about everything, whether it's sports, politics. If you're supposed to be one of the best, and I'm assuming that if you're running for president, you believe you're one of the best, or if you're going to be a head coach, if you're going to be, you know, Gordon Ramsay, Master Chef, you should be able to handle anything that's going to be thrown at you in that setting.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not at a family get together and somebody throws a question at you and you're not ready. You're in public. You're on, right? Your brain is on. My standard has always been I see this with athletes all the time, where they answer something in a horrible way, or a head coach that like completely dismisses the most obvious question. They're like, no, you should be prepared to handle that question. It shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be easy. And I wonder, with your guys' experience, how much of it is brain lock versus calculation in your own experiences?
Well, that was a terrible gaffe that she made yesterday. But you know, every politician, I don't care how good they are going to make a gaffe at some point. They're going to say the wrong president of Bolivia. There are various levels of it. Nolan Arenado made some errors last year. He didn't win a gold glove. I mean, he's a professional. So this was a gaffe, and it was a big one by Nikki Haley. In the big scheme of things, I think it's largely irrelevant, because I don't think she's ever had a chance to be the nominee.
Yeah, but I don't think she believes she's going to be the nominee either. I think all of the candidates that are on the Republican side had to have settled into about 3 or 4 months ago that they need forces outside of their control to make themselves the nominee. Yep. Hence the reason they're staying in it, because, you know, they believe that maybe some of the charges are real here and maybe that the former president's not the right person. I think every one of these people knows they're running for runner up in the, you know, Miss America contest for the Republicans.
It always fascinates me, because like if you look at the last two presidents, different reasons, different ways. But there are, when you mention gaffes, there are gaffes.
Joe Biden called the Secretary of Transportation booty juice the other day.
Yeah, this is my point. Like, there are different ones. Like, you can argue whether some of them are more intentional on one guy's side, where they're just old age on another. Doesn't matter to me. There are a lot of gaffes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter for either of them with the large majority. And I guess my question is, does any of it matter at all when it comes to the general? Because everybody's going to vote for the team, for their team, essentially.
I do not think this is going to hurt Nikki Haley. I think it will ultimately help her in the long run, because it's almost like code words to these folks out there. And I don't think this is going to hurt her, on top of the fact that nothing seems to matter anymore. And I think the former president is teaching us that on a daily basis.
Yeah,
nothing matters.
I mean, stuff that would have killed any campaign I've ever worked on, you know, if you go back just through the 2015 on history of Donald Trump. I mean, he's, you know, he's killed his campaign 100 times, 150 times, and it doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered. So, and Michael makes a point there.
Did he, I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. Did he crack the code in that if you just constantly say and do whatever you want, it's just too much and nobody, and eventually people just move past it? Or was this just the world going this way anyway because of the way social media is, the way people consume information, whether it was him or anyone else? This was the direction it was heading, where mistakes don't matter, we just move past them. Lies don't matter, we just move past them. Basically, do and say what you want because you create your own reality, in part because of how human beings work. And I forget which school, might have been MIT, I think it was an MIT study, that looked at people's social media habits. And they took people who are conservative, people that are liberal, and they drew big circles around their social media worlds. Mm-hmm. And those circles don't connect. There's no overlap. So there are people that, when you're talking about where most people get a lot of their day-to-day information, they don't see any of the crossover. There's no connective tissue. Were we heading in this way anyway, where people are just going to believe whatever it is they want to believe, no matter what?
Well, I think that's part of it. Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I also think that the wave of populism that Donald Trump identified was a whole lot bigger than I thought it was, and I think many people thought it was. And, you know, he fundamentally transformed what makes up a Republican voter. Donald Trump's not a conservative, but he is a populist, and he speaks to clearly millions and millions of people who distrust institutions. They don't like the establishment. They don't like the justice system. They don't, you know, and he has gone all in on that and found that there was a whole lot more support for that approach than maybe even he thought when he got into this thing. I don't think Donald Trump thought he was going to be president when he got into the race in 2015, but he did. And those people are out there, and they're not so much whack jobs as they just are alienated from the institutions of American society.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this in the past ad nauseum about how all of us can view the world through whatever prism we want. And in fact, you can block out the other voices. I mean, when John and I first started in this business against each other, we had to lobby the same newspaper reporters. Yeah. And we would spend, I knew she just got off the phone with John, and I'd call and chew on the reporter for a little bit. And we were in the hopes, and consumers, regardless of economics or anything, all had to consume it because there were a limited amount of places to do it. Now we have such a plethora, and you can get into a place where you can only see the world through whatever, you know, anime or a frat boy or whatever thought process you want to have, you can make sure that so your whole life is just that.
However narrow it may be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been pretty clear over time. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump and the way he does things, but I'm not a big fan of how we act as people. I think he may have sped up the process. I think we were headed down this path of everybody's only going to hear what they want to hear regardless, because you just don't expose yourself. I mean, your choice of a TV news network changes what version of the world you're going to hear about.
Dude, anger and hatred is one of the most powerful drugs inside all of us. I quit social media because I was coming up with pithy ways to say mean things about people.
Yeah.
And literally quit on the night Donald Trump got elected because I was like, I don't want to be thinking this way.
Well done.
So do we think this does long-term damage to Nikki Haley?
Well, I was going to ask you guys next because if you're a president, I have a standard about everything, whether it's sports, politics. If you're supposed to be one of the best, and I'm assuming that if you're running for president, you believe you're one of the best. Or if you're going to be a head coach, if you're going to be Gordon Ramsay, Master Chef, you should be able to handle anything that's going to be thrown at you in that setting.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not at a at a family get together and somebody throws a question at you and you're not ready. You're in public. You're on, right? Your brain is on. My standard has always been I see this with athletes all the time, where they answer something in a horrible way, or a head coach that like completely dismisses the most obvious question. They're like, no, you should be prepared to handle that question. It shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be easy. And I wonder, with your guys' experience, mm-hmm. how much of it is brain lock versus calculation? In your own experiences,
well, that was a terrible gaffe that she made yesterday. But, every politician, I don't care how good they are going to make a gaffe at some point. They're going to say the wrong president of Bolivia. There are various levels of it. Nolan Arenado made some errors last year. Yeah. He didn't win a gold glove. I mean, he's a professional. So this was a gaffe, and it was a big one by Nikki Haley. In the big scheme of things, I think it's largely irrelevant because I don't think she's ever had a chance to be the nominee.
Yeah, but I don't think she believes she's going to be the nominee either. I think all of the candidates that are on the Republican side had to have settled into about 3 or 4 months ago that they need forces outside of their control to make themselves the nominee. Yep. Hence the reason they're staying in it, because they believe that maybe some of the charges are real here and maybe that the former president's not the right person. I think every one of these people knows they're running for runner up in the Miss America contest for the Republicans.
It always fascinates me because, like, if you look at the last two presidents, different reasons, different ways. But there are, when you mention gaffes, there are gaffes.
Joe Biden called the Secretary of Transportation booty juice the other day.
Yeah, this is my point. Like, there are different ones. Like, you can argue whether some of them are more intentional on one guy's side, where they're just old age on another. Doesn't matter to me. There are a lot of gaffes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter for either of them with the large majority. And I guess my question is, does any of it matter at all when it comes to the general? Because everybody's going to vote for the team, for their team, essentially.
I do not think this is going to hurt Nikki Haley. I think it will ultimately help her in the long run, because it's almost like code words to these folks out there. And I don't think this is going to hurt her, on top of the fact that nothing seems to matter anymore. And I think the former president is teaching us that on a daily basis.
Yeah,
nothing matters.
I mean, stuff that would have killed any campaign I've ever worked on, if you go back just through the 2015 on history of Donald Trump. I mean, he's killed his campaign 100 times, 150 times, and it hasn't mattered. So, and Michael makes a point there.
Did he, I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. Did he crack the code in that if you just constantly say and do whatever you want, it's just too much and nobody, and eventually people just move past it? Or was this just the world going this way anyway because of the way social media is, the way people consume information, whether it was him or anyone else? This was the direction it was heading, where mistakes don't matter, we just move past them. Lies don't matter, we just move past them. Basically, do and say what you want because you create your own reality, in part because of how human beings work. And I forget which school, might have been MIT, I think it was an MIT study, that looked at people's social media habits. And they took people who are conservative, people that are liberal, and they drew big circles around their social media worlds. Mm-hmm. And those circles don't connect. There's no overlap. So there are people that, when you're talking about where most people get a lot of their day-to-day information, they don't see any of the crossover. There's no connective tissue. Were we heading in this way anyway, where people are just going to believe whatever it is they want to believe, no matter what?
Well, I think that's part of it. Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I also think that the wave of populism that Donald Trump identified was a whole lot bigger than I thought it was, and I think many people thought it was. And, he fundamentally transformed what makes up a Republican voter. Donald Trump's not a conservative, but he is a populist, and he speaks to, clearly, millions and millions of people who distrust institutions. They don't like the establishment. They don't like the justice system. They don't, And he has gone all in on that and found that there was a whole lot more support for that approach than maybe even he thought when he got into this thing. I don't think Donald Trump thought he was going to be president when he got into the race in 2015, but he did. And those people are out there. And they're not so much whack jobs as they just are alienated from the institutions of American society.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this in the past ad nauseum about how all of us can view the world through whatever prism we want. And in fact, you can block out the other voices. I mean, when John and I first started in this business against each other, we had to lobby the same newspaper reporters. Yeah. And we would spend, I knew she just got off the phone with John, and I'd call and chew on the reporter for a little bit. And we were in the hopes, and consumers, regardless of economics or anything, all had to consume it because there were a limited amount of places to do it. Now we have such a plethora, and you can get into a place where you can only see the world through whatever, you know, anime or a frat boy or whatever thought process you want to have, you can make sure that so your whole life is just that.
However narrow it may be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been pretty clear over time. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump and the way he does things, but I'm not a big fan of how we act as people. I think he may have sped up the process. I think we were headed down this path of everybody's only going to hear what they want to hear regardless, because you just don't expose yourself. I mean, your choice of a TV news network changes what version of the world you're going to hear about.
Dude, anger and hatred is one of the most powerful drugs inside all of us. I quit social media because I was coming up with pithy ways to say mean things about people.
Yeah.
And literally quit on the night Donald Trump got elected because I was like, I don't want to be thinking this way.
Well done.